Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you. I hope that you're doing well. And I want to just take a couple seconds here to start off by just welcoming you, whether you are part of Central Christian Church or whether you're a part of another body of faith and you're joining us. And certainly it's a privilege for us to be able to share via online and be able to serve the body of Christ regardless. And if you're not a believer, we're glad you're here. Pray that this morning is an encouragement to you. I want to also just say, I don't know how you guys are, but I know just for me and Karen, we very much just miss our brothers and sisters. We miss being together. But nonetheless, this is the season in which we are in, and this is kind of where we find ourselves. And so we continue to do the best we can, and we continue to pray that the Lord would use this for His good, for His glory, for the benefit of the church. And so I want to just continue to invite you to pray with us for the church and continue to pray that God would use this. But in this season too, just as I've said in many other spaces, continue to seek to love God and to love people, love your neighbors, the people that are around you. And so before we jump into our text this morning, I just want to share a couple of things that are coming up that I'm just really excited about. As we continue to look for ways to engage the body of Christ, as we look to it for ways for us to be able to gather, even if it's online, while that's not always sufficient, it certainly is what we have in this season. One of the things that we want to do is we want to seek opportunities for us to pray together. And so starting next Monday, so actually this is tomorrow, when this goes online on Sunday, starting Monday, we are going to be hosting live prayer times at noon every day. So starting Monday through Friday, we're going to be doing live prayer times at noon through live stream on Facebook. And so if you would want to join us, which I highly encourage you to do and highly encourage you to share that out so we can get as many people together as possible, just for 10 or 15 minutes every day, we're going to gather together and we're going to pray and we're going to do a little devotion. And that'll be on our Central Christian Church Wichita Facebook page. And so I want to invite you to do that. Secondly, I also want to communicate that, as you know, we're in our Easter series. And I know it seems crazy to think about this. It feels so weird that we literally are coming to Easter next week because it just doesn't feel like Easter. Although the spring is out, there's so much tradition that happens during that season around the church. Nonetheless, it's coming next week. And one of the things that we really felt led to do was to take this opportunity at Easter and to really leverage this time to share just very clearly the hope of the gospel, the hope we have in Jesus Christ, to celebrate that as the people of God, but also to encourage others who may not know Christ, especially in this season, which so much challenge and difficulty, where there's a lot of questions. And so here's what we're asking for you to do. We're asking for you to really make efforts to invite people. And obviously that's difficult in this season when we're practicing social distancing and all those types of things, but there are ways to do it. You know, you can share our links on Facebook. You can invite people to our live streams on text. You can do a lot of those types of things, but we also are providing a physical way for you to do that as you're going about town and as you're doing those essential things like going to the grocery store and you interact with people. We're providing these little cards that just have our information, inviting people to our online services. And you can pick these up at our office anytime throughout the week during our office hours. And don't worry, you can continue to practice social distancing because we just will have them on a stack on the counter. You can pick up as many as you want, and then you can leave and take those to just hand out to people and say, hey, we'd love you to join us on our online services. And with that, just it's important to note that for Easter, we're only going to have one service time that's live stream. We're going to have all of our stuff on housechurch.ccc.org like we always have, but we're only going to have one live stream, which is going to be at 9:30 on Easter morning. And so really encourage you to participate with us in that, to try to encourage as many people who might not know Jesus to be a part of that morning with us. And so I wanted to just make those couple of announcements. And now I want to kind of move to our text. And we continue on with our Easter series, and the series title is this whole idea of sorrow to joy. And as we look at our season and the world in which we're in, I can't think of a better kind of series title to think about in regards to the reality that so much of what Jesus does is bringing our sorrows or bringing us out of our sorrows into a joy. And as we think about that, and as we enter into really this Easter week, we're coming to Good Friday. We're coming to the scene of Jesus being crucified on the cross. And, you know, as you think about that, as I think about that, and as I even talk about that with my family and my kids at times, you know, it's interesting that we call this event good. And I want to just invite you into this moment this morning. And I'm going to read the text out of Matthew 27. And so if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew 27 with me. And I just want you to be reminded, this isn't a myth. This isn't just some story, but this is a historical moment. And I would encourage you that as I read Matthew 27, to maybe close your eyes, maybe to just imagine what it would have been like, what the sights and the smells and what it would have been like to experience this, to see it happening. And as you're doing that, to ponder, how is this good? And why do we call this moment good? And so if you would, church, just join with me in reading out of God's word. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to be reading verses 27 through 55. Church, hear the word of the Lord. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when he had been crucified, and when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put a charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires for him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this morning. And Father, I pray that, Lord, wherever we are this morning, your people, we're reminded that you're with us all. You're with those of us who are in our homes. You're with those of us who are with our families. You're with those of us that are listening to this in a car or wherever we are, Father, you're with us. And I just want to pray this morning that as we look at this, that you would help us to feel the weight of it, that you would help us to feel the realities of what is happening in this text. what is happening in this moment of history, a moment of history that has changed literally the world, way more than this virus that we're all thinking about so often. Like, this moment has changed the course of history. And I pray, Father, that we would feel the weight of it. I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes to see the beauty of it, but also the hard in it. And that, Lord, you might lead us as believers to celebrate, that you might lead us to recognize, that you might lead those who don't know you, Lord, to place their faith and their trust in you, to hear that invitation that you're calling them to. And Father, we pray that you would give us your favor this morning. And we just pray all these things in your name. Amen. You know, I read this text and I'm like, this is good. How in the world could this be good? How could such agony possibly be good? How could it be good to be humiliated? How could it be good to be made fun of? How could it be good to have nails driven through your hands, to be bent over a stump and scourged to the bone? How could it be good to literally hang on a tree of cursing while people make fun of you and deride you and mock you and spit upon you? The weight of this moment is something that we oftentimes just go past. And yet, we call this day Good Friday. And I even think about beyond this, like beyond this moment, like how is it good? How could we possibly call something like an earthquake in Haiti, if you remember that several years ago, that killed 100,000 people? How could we ever call something like cancer good? How could we ever call being somewhere that we don't want to be good? How could we ever call losing a loved one good? How could we ever call this whole virus thing possibly good? And even thinking at some point, is it possible that we'll look back at this moment and say, this was actually good? And, you know, it's an interesting thing because we're certainly not saying it's pleasant. And that was certainly true of this moment for Jesus. Like, it was not pleasant, and yet it was good. And I think it's important for us to stay right at the front end that so often what makes something good isn't necessarily what we experience in the moment. It's what it leads to in the end, right? So the pain of birth isn't good, but that process is good because it brings forth a life. Oftentimes wars aren't good, but sometimes what they bring about are good, right? The Civil War, or the Revolutionary War, or revolutions that we've experienced all across the world. And so when we look at this moment of Jesus' execution, we need to see it clearly. And we need to think of it for what it actually means. And what do we see? Is it just a fact of history, just some moment in history, or does this lead us to something good, something great? And that's ultimately the question that I want to ask this morning for all of us to ponder as we move into this great celebratory moment of Easter. And so the cross, what is the cross? The cross is, it's an image of several things. One of the things that I think that the cross is an image of is something that we tend to kind of react against initially. You know, actually, it was funny. I was just thinking earlier this week that at this time last year, my daughter and me were getting ready to go to Israel. And we got an opportunity to see a lot of these things and experience a lot of these things. And we talked about a lot of these moments. And one of the things that we talked about specifically in regards to the cross, even as we were standing in those places where they believe that it happened, one of the things we talked about is that when we look at the cross, one of the things that we should see is our hearts towards God. And so here's what we talked about, that so often what is actually being represented, not only in the cross, but also in the sacrificial system, is what we want to actually happen to God. And here's the part that we'll recoil against, is that in our broken nature, we want to see God dead. We don't like that. Like, we push against that. That makes us feel like, man, that's hard. And yet at the same time, isn't that the case? I mean, isn't that true for all of us? Like, we want him out of the way. I mean, prior to being believers, and I want you to just think about that. If you are a believer, like myself and my family and so many others, think about who and how you viewed God beforehand. If you're not a believer this morning and you're listening, just think about how you view God. Like, is it not true that we want him out of the way? We don't want to listen to what he says. We don't want him telling us what to do. We don't want him getting in our business. Like, we want him out of the way. And listen, we can say it's not true, that we don't want God dead, that we don't want to see Him hanging on that cross bloodied and away from us. And yet, is it not true that even Scripture, throughout all of Scripture, what we see is that every time someone comes to bring the voice of God, like, people end up persecuting them, hanging them, killing them, beheading them. Like, every time the voice of God comes to people, we push against Him. I mean, even after Christ, the church, I mean, it's has a history of men and women being killed for their faith. Why? Because we don't want Him around. And so often when we look at the cross, we miss this. We miss that we're looking visually at the symbol of what, in our broken, sinful nature, what we want. We want Him off the throne. We want Him away from us. And I think this is so important for us to understand. It's so important for us to lean into this reality and just be reminded that, like, this is what brings about the wrath of God. It's this mindset that we want Him out of the way. And I think it's sometimes why people can misunderstand the wrath of God, right? Because we think, man, it's a little harsh to condemn someone to hell just because they don't obey God's little list of rules, right? But that's not, at the end of the day, the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is that for most of us prior to Jesus, like for all of us prior to Jesus, the reason we're condemned is because we wanted Him off the throne. And as a result, how do you get someone off the throne? You seek to remove them. And that's ultimately what we wanted to do. That's why Jesus is on the cross in the first place. Jesus comes as the voice of the Father, telling people the way, the truth, and the life in His own words. That's what He said. And they hung Him on a tree. And so I think it's important that when we look at the cross, we see our own hearts. We see what we really want from God, that we don't want to engage Him. It's a visible image of our own desires, of our fallen nature. But it's also a visible image of something else. And it's also a visible image of what we deserve. For all of those left to themselves to desire this to God, there is justice that will come to us. There is a wrath that we are under. I think of 2 Thessalonians, and just read verse 9 out of chapter 1. It says this: they, being all of us who refuse to put our faith in Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. When He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Like, here's at the end of the day, this is what's true of all of us. We will all suffer eternal destruction. That is what is due to us. And so when we look at the cross, not only do we see our own hearts, our own fallen nature, and our desire to want to be rid of Him, but we also should see what is justly due to us because of that. Now, when we get that, and say, well, where's the good here? Like, we haven't gotten to the good yet in that, but here's where there's so much good. Here's where it comes. It's that Jesus, the Son of God, He's willingly paying our debt with His supremely valuable blood. Listen, you can say whatever you want about this season. You can say whatever you want about what you think to be true about Jesus, what you think to be true about God, what you think to be true about Christianity. You can say whatever you want, but when you look at the cross, how could you not see love? You have a man, you have God, willingly submitting Himself to what you and I deserve, willingly submitting Himself to the very death that we would wish upon Him so that we won't have to suffer, so that we won't have to engage His punishment, His wrath, so we won't have to suffer that wrath, even when our nature wanted Him out of the way. And here's what's beautiful about this, and this is what has so much to do about the whole Easter series, is that it's there to redeem and to restore and to reconcile. And ultimately, what Jesus is doing is, in this moment, He is showing us that He is conquering everything that is broken in this world. Not just our sin, although that's part of it. His suffering leads to triumph. His suffering conquers. Let me just read a list of things that the Scripture tells us that Jesus conquers through this event. John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26 tells us that he conquers death. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 tells us that he disarms the enemy, and the enemy is Satan, who would accuse us of all of our wrongdoings before the Father. Revelation 1, chapter 18 tells us that because of Jesus and because of the cross, he conquers hell. John chapter 8, verse 36 tells us that he conquers our slavery. In other words, he frees us, he brings us out. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 tells us he conquers the punishment of our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us he conquers our broken nature. 1 Peter 1, 3 tells us he conquers our weaknesses. Revelation 21 tells us he conquers the curse. Ephesians 4, 17, the futility of life. Ephesians 2, 19, he conquers our alienation from God. Like, he reconciles, he brings us back to be able to dwell with God. Ephesians 1, 18, he's conquered in our poverty. He gives us an inheritance. Romans 8, 28, he conquers our suffering. Because now he has the ability, as he always has, but he calls us into being part of his family that he might be able to redeem. And I could go on and on about all of the things that Christ conquers. But Friday is good because what was accomplished on Friday so many thousands of years ago has reconciled us out of the wrath of God. And it has brought us into his good pleasure, where our victory has been bought. It has been purchased by the very blood that we should be spilling, the very blood that we wanted to spill. He paid for it. And now our suffering can become triumph. When we think all is going well and suffering comes and it wrecks everything, we have to ask that question in this moment, though. How does Jesus bring triumph? And so instead of just telling you that, I want to take a moment now to share a story. And so over the next few minutes, you're going to hear the story of Shawn. And I just want you to hear her testimony of how God has redeemed suffering in her life and brought triumph. Listen with me.
So imagine pigs. Let's say sin is mud. And I was a piglet running around in mud, enjoying myself. Back up, feet up, just happy as can be, doing belly slides in mud. I was an abomination before the Lord. Let the redeemed of the people say so, for whom the Lord has redeemed. He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I am redeemed. My name is Shawn Garman, and this is my story. I was blessed with my health. I was born healthy. But got sick along the way. I had to start dialysis at 19. And my mom showed up at the dialysis unit in New Orleans and just said, I'm gonna give you a kidney, a second chance at life. At that time, I still was not trying to live for God, even though I was raised in the environment of Christ. Praise God, my mother and my grandmother prayed for me all through that time, but even after I had my transplant, it was still all about me. Okay, I started as a reggae band player in New Orleans. I studied with Mr. Marcellus down there. Those gentlemen were very different than obviously the reggae band crowd. Just being in New Orleans, playing at the clubs, you were hype, you were wired. You were doing all those things that you do in environments like that. Then when I moved to California, I was writing film scores. And that was very different, but it was still linked to that artistic community in New Orleans, because anywhere you go, you know, people who are artsy are crazy. They're on the outer fringes, just being being artsy. The Lord saved me from using marijuana. It was the culture I was around. I was functioning in it quite well, and enjoying it probably more than I should have been. So I ended up back here in Kansas after finishing a terminal degree at OU. I had my transplant for about 26 and a half years. I think 27, I'm not sure. I lost kidney function in January of last year. I'm on the machine now, but now I know Christ in a way that I didn't before. And even though I am not as physically strong as I used to be, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And as Paul asked for his thorn to be removed 3 times, I'm sure I've out-asked Paul like millions of times to heal my kidney, just supernaturally put Christ's blood in me and make mine start working again. And it's not, but I'm okay with that because I have Christ in a way that I never had before. And I have salvation. Even though I read my Bible when I was in my own world, it had no meaning like it has now. I enjoyed riding motorcycles, and along the coast, I used to live in California, so I rode a lot up and down Highway 1. Life back then was all about me. As Darren says, me gotta go. I hadn't gotten there yet. I was still all about Sean. So I was heading towards California from New Orleans on my motorcycle, packed down. And I stopped at a gas station, and I met a gentleman, an African-American gentleman. I said, oh, I've never seen a black chick on a bike. I'm like, well, ding, ding. So we blew a bowl, and I got back on my bike. The bike is kind of like a washing machine, because you're vibrating as you're riding. And like, I noticed my head wanting to drop down a little bit on this ride. And I was still in Louisiana. I was only about 3 or 4 hours out of New Orleans. And my head dropped. I looked up. I'm right on the back of a semi. And the right side of my body took the hit. And I was able, with my left hand, to guide the bike over to the neutral ground. The brake is on the left-hand side. So as I was braking and tripping, like, oh my God, please help me. That was all I knew to do and say. And it was as if invisible angels just led my bike to safety. There were no water, no like little ravines in the neutral ground. I could just slowly stop the bike. Actually, it was the clutch on the left-hand side. That's how the bike slowed down. It wasn't an immediate stop, it was a gradual. And I had on my leather jacket that was zipped down, fortunately, because my arm was completely broken and the jacket kept it from dropping. It's crazy, I had one click left on my cell phone. That was enough to call for help. The guy behind me, I found out, called the highway patrol for me. I was medevaced to EagleMed ready, rather I should say. Up to Shreveport, titanium rod, plate 6 screws later, I'm able to conduct. But what tripped me out is while I was still recovering, I stayed there a week. My aunt was with me because she actually resided in New Orleans. We get back to New Orleans, I'm still ready to party, ready to go back to that lifestyle. Even after God's angels had saved me, I wasn't ready to make that split. It took more hard knocks, more lessons for me to get it. If my story displays anything, it is that there is meaning in suffering. My continual prayer today is even that the Lord will keep me in a place where His will be done and not mine, because as hard as it is to be where I am, it's probably the best place for me. Life is not about me, it's about Jesus. And it's about me becoming more like Christ through whatever He puts us through. And though I don't have a functioning kidney, I count it all as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He's so worth it. I can't say it enough. It is hard to lay down your will, deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow him. But we can't get to him unless we pick up our cross and follow him. Just don't be afraid. Walk towards him. He wants you where you are. He comes to you where you are. That's the beauty. No matter how dirty you are, he'll offer his hand. He'll run to you. God is awesome.
Sean's testimony is deeply impactful, and I love what she says in that one moment where she talks about the accident on the motorcycle. She cries out to the Lord, "Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me." And here's the thing, as you hear even in her story, like, he answered it. He helped Sean. He gave exactly what Sean needed. He brought exactly what he needed to bring to help her, to lead her to himself. And here's the thing, like, he answered that prayer. He helped her through suffering. And it is through that suffering that my sister found joy and found a hope and found rest. And it's the same joy and hope and rest that God is offering all of us. And he hasn't fixed everything for her. And yet, as you hear in her voice, even in the midst of kidney failure, Jesus is present. Friends, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ." He gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of hard things, we have victory in Christ. Romans 8:37 says, "In all these things," and pause, what things? Suffering, tribulation, difficulty. And he says, "In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You hear that? This is the hope that was purchased for you right there in your rooms, right there wherever you're listening to this, for me, through this good day. Through the good of Jesus on the cross, through the good of him being scourged and broken on our behalf. Jesus' sorrow lasted for a moment, but his joy, oh, his joy is forevermore, as is ours, for those of us who've put our trust in Jesus. And so this morning, as believers, it would be wrong for us to pretend that the suffering and the sorrows we experience is pleasant, but what we can believe and where we can trust is that it can be good. See, there are times when our sufferings don't feel much like triumph, because at the end of the day, we don't see the end, but he does. Because we're in the midst of pain and we feel like crying out. And I just want to encourage you this morning, as I even encourage in my own heart as I've thought about this text this week, all those things that you're feeling sorrow for, those moments, those things, that whatever it is that you're wanting to see victory in right now, that you long to see triumph, I want to just encourage you as believers to cry out to him, just like Sean did, "Oh God, help," and then to trust that he knows how to help in the best way for our eternal good. And we trust in him and we rest in him, and we can be reminded that he is writing our stories even when we don't know the end of them. And maybe part of your cry to him is that he would open your eyes to see the good of what he's doing and restoring and redeeming and reconciling. If you're not a believer this morning, I would call you to look at the cross. And I would invite you to look upon your treason, to look upon your heart, to see in that bloody spectacle, in that hard moment, your sin. To see not only your sin, but to see what you deserve, to see what God rightfully should give you, and yet at the same time to see his unimaginable eternal love for you, that he was willing to die for you. No matter what else you think about God, What greater love could you ask for than a love that's willing to lay itself down for you? He's seeking you. He's calling you. He's inviting you. And so in the moments of your weariness, in the moments of your fear, your anxieties, he's seeking to bring you victory. He's seeking to make you a conqueror by being a part of his family. And I just want to invite you to that this morning. And so this morning you can text to the church, and you can text connect, and you can just ask for help, and you can just say, hey, listen, like, I want information. I want to know more about Jesus. You can call the church office. You can write down in the comments that you want to talk to somebody. However you want to contact us, we'd love to walk you through that process. But I want to invite you to hear the voice of Jesus. I want to invite you to hear the voice of our Lord. And at this point, I want to now turn our attention to a time of communion. And for those of you who are believers, you know what communion is. Communion is a time where we take some bread and we take some juice, and we're reminded of this great good day, this day where we have a promise and a covenant and a trust in the work of Jesus on the cross, that he was willing to break his body on our behalf and spill his blood for us, that we might enter the kingdom of God, that we might enter into the family of God. May you rest in that. May you be encouraged in that. And may it bring you joy in this season. And this is also an opportunity. I just want to encourage you and continue to encourage you to joyfully and out of worship and who God is, to continue to give. If you're a part of Central, we've already said, like, this is a season where it's easy for us to forget this part of our worship to the Lord. And we continue to want to minister and to work with people and share and help meet the needs of those that are hurting and suffering. And I've shared many ways how we're doing that, whether it's reaching out to hospital staff or through our benevolence ministries to families that have been laid off or furloughed. We're continuing to seek ways to do that, but we need to encourage you to continue to give. If you're not a part of Central and you have another church home that maybe you're joining us because you can't connect, give to them. Continue to support the ministry of your home church wherever you are. But do it out of joy for the work of Jesus and the work of what he has done for us. Pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the good day, that good day where you were crucified, that good day where you took the wrath away from us, that good day that exampled and showed us your great love for us, a love that can never be taken from us, a love that we can never be separated from. Father, may we rest in it, may we abide in it, and may we be encouraged in it. And we pray all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Well, church, pray that you have a wonderful week. Don't forget to join us at noon, starting on Monday for prayer. Hope that there's thousands praying together that day. But nonetheless, have a great week, and we hope to see you next week.